Welcome to Longevity. I'm your host, Natalie Nittam. I'm a nutritionist, a human potential and epigenetic coach, and I created this podcast to bring you the latest ways to take control of your health and longevity. We cover it all, from new technology and ancestral health practices to personalized interventions and a very special interest of mine, peptides and bioregulators. Enjoy the show. Hi, I'm Natalie Nittam, your host. What if the foundation of your health isn't something you track, but something that you've probably never really put much thought into? Today, I'm joined by Caroline Allen, co-founder of Beam Minerals and the author of the new book, The Mineral Reset. Caroline went through a complete health unraveling, brain fog, exhaustion, chronic issues, despite being a high-performing, driven entrepreneur. What she eventually uncovered wasn't another diet or protocol. It was actually the power of trace minerals. We get into why your cells literally cannot produce energy without them, how modern food may no longer deliver what your body needs, and everything in between. This episode really connects a lot of the dots. Now, if you want to get your hands on the book, which I highly recommend, you can go to any bookseller like Amazon and look up The Mineral Reset by Caroline Allen. And if you're feeling inspired and have never replenished your essential minerals yourself, we do have a special offer for you here. You can go to beamminerals.com and use code NAT20 to receive 20% off your first order. I'm going to thank a couple of our very amazing sponsors, and then we're off into the episode.
I want to talk about strength, not just lifting heavier, but feeling capable in your body. For many women, especially in perimenopause and beyond, we tend to notice fatigue first. Workouts might feel harder, recovery takes longer, and mental sharpness starts to decline. One of the most important supplements a woman over 40 can take may surprise you. It's your creatine. Our bodies make it, but we make less with age. While creatine is often marketed to men, women actually experience the steepest decline after 40. And creatine is essential for brain health, focus, and cellular energy. That's why I love Qualia Creatine Plus. It uses two clinically tested, highly bioavailable forms of creatine, plus magnesium and electrolytes to help to support lean muscle, energy, and mental clarity. If you want to feel stronger, sharper, and more resilient, this is a foundational supplement. Qualia's creatine is my recommendation because creatine is too important to get wrong. If you want to give it a try, all you have to do is go to qualialife.com/Natalie and use code Natalie. That's N-A-T-H-A-L-I-E. Don't forget about the H to save up to 50% plus get an additional 15% off. That's Qualia Creatine Plus at qualialife.com/Natalie.
Most skincare is like patchwork. Hydrate this, smooth that, maybe brighten a little, but a lot of it is all very surface level. Now I have a product to talk to you about today that is different. Vita Zero Age Exosomes from Vitali feels more like a system upgrade for your skin. What's unique here is what they call regenerative stacking. You've got zero-age mesenchymal stem cell exosomes acting as the messengers, paired with GHK copper to support rebuilding the skin's structure. Then they layer in niacinamide and glutathione so that you're also supporting barrier and oxidative stress. This formula is designed to help remind your cells how to function more optimally. I've been super impressed by how this product works and feels. Now, if you want to try it out for yourself, all you have to do is go to vitaliskincare.com and use code NAT20 for 20% off. Welcome to the show. It is such a joy to have you back here today.
It's always so great to be with you. I can't wait for our conversation.
Yeah, same. So we have previous episodes that we will link to in the show notes, but you've done this thing that founders and entrepreneurs do sometimes, and that is that you sat yourself down, calmed yourself down, and wrote down a really powerful story. Well, like your own story kind of woven into this whole, the whole space of, that you've evolved in really over the last, how long has it been?
You know, it's been 10 years.
Wow. So over the last decade. And so, you know, we're really here to talk about that a little bit and also to really dig into what the story of minerals really is in its importance to human health. So one of the things that you start with is you've talked about, you know, dealing with gluten intolerance, chronic inflammation, like yourself, right? Headaches, adrenal burnout, thyroid issues. Like these are things that are so common in the world right now. What point did you realize that there was something deeper in your biology that might have been fundamentally out of balance? Because I think with minerals, like we're going so deep, it's a level that very few practitioners and physicians will often go to.
Yes. You know, really what happened to me was I had so many chronic issues, some of which you mentioned. But when I hit perimenopause, that's when things really started to unravel for me. And particularly with the brain fog and the headaches and the energy issues, I was really, I mean, at that point I had to quit my corporate job. That's when I just said, wow, like, I can't do it anymore. I have to take a break. But, you know, it was at that time, I mean, I knew nothing about minerals. I knew nothing about how minerals work in the body. And no one out of all of the practitioners, specialists, you know, you name it, I have done it. No one ever mentioned minerals, not a single one. They mentioned allergies, hormonal imbalance, you know, thyroid issue, you know, different things, but they never ever said, you know, the word minerals.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so that, I mean, that's so interesting. It just, people don't, it's almost like they don't think of it. Right. So when your health is failing, you know, but all the conventional answers just are incomplete. Like how did, like, what was that experience like psychologically? Like how did that, were there moments when you felt like it was just your body betraying you somehow? Or what was that,
you know,
the mindset?
Yeah. You know, so my mother died young. She was 64 when she died. Mm-hmm. And when I, you know, in my mid 40s started to feel badly, I was like, well, I'm just on my mother's trajectory. You know, I'm on the steep decline. And, you know, I had always been, I'm a pretty hard charging person, very goal oriented. I've done a lot of things in my life and achieved a lot and been very successful. And to literally not be able to get my thoughts together to do what I had always been able to do, it was extremely scary. Mm-hmm. Extremely scary. And yeah. I just, you know, there's all the mental and emotional pieces, the anxiety. I also had two young kids then. I was parenting alone, or you know, partly parenting alone. And you know, had my marriage had, you know, split, and it was an extremely difficult time in my life.
Yeah, I'll bet. Okay. So let's fast forward a little bit. When humic and fulvic minerals first entered your life, what was the moment that made you think something profound is happening here? Like how did you come across them? And what was that moment that made you think, wait a minute, this is not just a thing. Like this is big, even though it's little.
Well, there were two particular moments that really kind of made me go, wait a minute, what's going on? Because a lot of the changes that happened in me were really slow and incremental. And just, you know, the way that I was introduced to them was I met my business partner, Dan Howard.
Of course. Dan.
we were talking and I was complaining about my health. And he's like, you know, why don't you try this stuff? And he gave me this little cup of liquid minerals. I didn't even really know what they were, but I trusted him and I drank them. And he gave me these bottles and I went home and I started taking them every day. I wasn't really even thinking that they were going to have any effect because I was already trying so many different things and had given up on so many different things that I didn't have a lot of hope. Mm-hmm. But I had been working, one of the biggest problems that I had was very bad periodontal disease. I had super receding gums, all sorts of deep pockets with inflammation in my gums and bone loss in my teeth. And I'd gone to three different dentists trying to figure out what is wrong with my mouth. Mm-hmm. And I took the minerals and I had to have my teeth cleaned four times a year because of this periodontal disease. And I went in to have my teeth cleaned and they often had to give me like Novocaine or whatever it was to numb me because it was so painful when I had my teeth cleaned. I didn't need any kind of pain relief. There was no bleeding. And when my dentist came in to look at my mouth, she was like, whoa, what has happened? She was like really surprised. Wow. The tissues are pink and healthy. There's no bleeding when your teeth were cleaned. This is incredible. And I was like, huh, Wow. I didn't even know what could have happened. And I thought for a while she had left the room. And when she came back, I said, you know, I think it might be these minerals I'm taking. So then I went home and I started swishing them around in my mouth every night before I went to bed. I'm like, this is really helping. I mean, I was literally trying to solve my mouth problems for 3 years.
Wow.
So a long, long time. Mm-hmm. Then after 4 months of taking them, I'd also had adrenal fatigue, and my adrenals were flatlined, completely flatlined. They'd been that way for over a year. I was working with a naturopath. We'd done all sorts of different, you name it. We tried it, all sorts of herbal remedies, tinctures, all sorts of different things, Ayurveda, and nothing had worked. Like nothing had done really anything. Mm-hmm. And I went in for, at my last appointment, she had given me a prescription for hydrocortisone because she's like, we need to jumpstart this
right.
situation.
Need to give you something. Yeah.
But I never filled the prescription because it just didn't seem right. And I went in, I did the adrenal test, and she looked at the results and she was like, this is amazing. This is fantastic. Your adrenals are 1/3 of the way up the chart. So from completely flatlined to 1/3 of the way up the chart in their natural sawtooth pattern, which is also very important for adrenals. And she's like, the hydrocortisone's really working. And I said, no, I never filled that prescription.
Don't you love that? She's like, what?
And I said, I think it might be these minerals. Now, by that time, I was also starting to feel much better. But those were the two points where I was like, okay, this isn't just me, you know, thinking I might be feeling better. This is like lab tests. This is like doctors looking in my mouth.
Yeah.
Clearly. And those were the big points. But, you know, over about 8 or 9 months, all these different symptoms that I'd been struggling with, like the, you know, gut problems, elimination issues, the headaches, the hydration issues with just not being able to hold water in my body, and as well as just waking up like 3 or 4 times every single night, like all these things resolved. And I kept going back to this man, Dan Howard, and going, minerals? Like, how could minerals be doing this? Mm-hmm. And he started giving me these little pieces of information that I could start researching.
Wow. That's really powerful. So the first sign really was the oral health shifting. And then your second sign was when, that's so interesting. So, but between those two appointments, did you notice anything else between those two medical appointments? Or do you think it was the shifts were so subtle that it was almost like you weren't really, maybe you were noticing shifts, but they were so subtle that you wouldn't have attributed them to anything? Or
exactly. There were a few things that I noticed. I noticed my energy returning. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that particularly my afternoon crash, I would have like such a deep afternoon crash. I'd be like, you know, I can't think, I have to lie down.
Yeah.
And that stopped happening. So I was able to sustain energy through the day. I started noticing just like a lowered, what I call it is more bandwidth. So, yeah. You know, like when you have high anxiety, high stress, your bandwidth for dealing with the things that come at you is much less and you're more reactive.
Yeah.
So I noticed myself being more responsive than reactive, and people around me started reflecting that back to me. And that was, mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that's interesting. Yeah, actually that's true. And, you know, I stopped having headaches. That was a huge thing because I really had so many headaches. And I also had the other issue that I had that I didn't mention is I had ongoing sinus infections. I'd had a bad mold exposure event and I was really struggling with sinus problems. And those just began to resolve and I stopped having those sinus headaches.
Wow.
The other interesting thing that I noticed is I really craved sugar, and I'm not a sugar eater like candy or cakes or cookies, but I ate a lot of fruit. I would sit down and eat a pound of grapes in, you know, 10 minutes, you know,
that's
like
a lot of sugar.
That's a lot of sugar, right?
That's a lot of sugar. Yeah.
And I remember going to the grocery store and looking in the fruit area and not buying any fruit and getting to the checkout stand and going, that's interesting. I don't really want any fruit. And that was just like one of those moments. I was like, that's different. Cause my cart I'd have lots of different fruit in there. Mm-hmm. So that was another key moment.
Yeah. Do you think your body was craving the fruit cause it was looking to replenish minerals? Cause it wasn't after the sugar really that it was, I mean, the sugar could have been a part of it cause you're looking for that quick energy, but we often talk, certainly as a nutritionist, like we will often talk about the body craving foods to replenish missing elements that it needs.
Absolutely. What I say, what does a hangry cell crave?
Yeah.
Sugar and salt, because it's looking for quick energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it will send you after sugar and salt. So, when if you're addicted to those crunchy chips or those sweets, that little hard candy, those things, that is your cells literally just saying, we don't have what we need. And I feel so strongly because I hear it from so many customers that when they start getting mineral replenished, their cravings greatly reduce.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And this is something I wanted to dig into a little bit. Like you often say that understanding health really begins at a cellular level. And we're hearing that more and more now, right? People are starting to get to the point where they're thinking, okay, people think about disease. They think about organs. They think about tissues. They think about systems. But they don't think about those cells. They don't think about the trillions of cells at all. So why do you think that's such a fundamental misunderstanding of how the body works?
And this is really why I wrote the book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is the key piece that made me go, I have to bring this information to people. Most of us are walking around in a body. We have no idea how to fuel.
Yeah.
Like it's sort of like if you bought a car and you didn't know that you have to go to the gas station and put the gas in the tank, in the gas tank. Most of us are doing the equivalent of taking a glass of gasoline and putting it in the cup holder in our car and thinking that's going to fuel the car.
Right.
We literally don't know how our bodies are fueled. And when I learned that, it was such a huge aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why has no one ever told me this?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that basic understanding is that, yes, you have all these parts and pieces and organs and tissues and structure in your body and juices, you've got hormones and neurotransmitters and blood and all sorts of different juices, but all of them rely, every single biosynthesis process in your body, every single structural element, every single cell, every single process requires minerals at its foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mostly people talk about vitamins and they kind of vitamins and then minerals like that. Kind
vitamins
of,
and minerals, like fruits and vegetables.
Right, right. Exactly.
Fruits and vegetables, exactly. Vitamins and minerals.
So these humble foundational elements and micronutrients, minerals are actually not only the entire structure of the universe, everything structural in the universe is minerals, but also energy production mm-hmm. in cellular systems. Your body is a cellular system, relies on minerals. I like to describe it like a campfire. So inside your cells, you have these mitochondria, and there are these organelles that generate these small units of energy in your body. And I kind of like to imagine it like a campfire. So to build a campfire, you're going to need wood. And the wood is like the minerals. It's the heavy content fuel you're going to need. And then there's like the lighter fuel that's the tinder, and that's amino acids. Your body makes mm-hmm. a lot of amino acids. A lot of them are present. Some come from your food as well. And then you have the match, and the mitochondria is like the match. It's the tool. It's the mechanism in your body that allows that fuel to turn into energy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a phenomenal, astronomical number of mitochondria in your body that are constantly looking for fuel to generate energy. But if you don't have enough fuel, those mitochondria are almost useless, not totally. They can still generate a very small amount of energy, but it's like 1/12 of the amount. Mm-hmm. So so the fuel component is just the piece that no one's talking about yet.
Yeah.
And that's why I wrote the book, because I'm like, this is the fundamental issue that's driving, that's like at the root of so many chronic issues in children, in people young people going through puberty, in women who are infertile, women who are struggling with their periods, women who are perimenopausal, postmenopausal, men who are struggling with the issues as they age related to hormone production, testosterone, and muscle mass, you know, keeping their muscle mass, like all of these things. It is absolutely the key component to longevity.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, because what you're describing is without that underpinning of cellular energy, nothing is going to go right. And so much can go wrong. And at least if you address that underpinning and things are still going wrong, so now you can move further upstream and see what else. But without this one piece addressed, and I think this is the part that we, to your point, we're not taught and we don't think of. And it's so foundational that without addressing it, nothing else can really move materially. So, you know, so you talk about the mitochondria a lot. Is that the first thing that really breaks down in the cell when it becomes mineral deficient, or is there something else?
Think of it like this. The way I like to describe it is a body that has enough minerals can generate about 1200 watts of electricity every day. That's like enough to power your blender and your toaster. I mean, it's a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Okay.
You wouldn't want to get zapped with that amount of energy.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how much electricity is running through your body.
Mm-hmm.
If you're fully mineralized, if you have all that wood for your campfires, that fuel. But if you don't, which most of us don't, and we can talk some about why we don't, mm-hmm. You're maybe only generating 800 watts or maybe 600 watts of energy at a cellular level.
Yeah.
So your body then has to pick and choose. It's going to say, well, hair, that's not that important. And, you know, mm-hmm. we're skin, we're going to keep it going.
Yeah.
We're going to keep your heart pumping. We're going to keep your lungs going. We're going to keep some level of cognition. We're going to make your eyes work. You know, there are certain things that are absolutely critical to life support and to you interacting with your world. Those things will continue to work, even if at a lower level. You might have heart palpitations. You might struggle. Your eyes might start to deteriorate. Your vision might start to deteriorate. Your hair might fall out. Your skin might look dull. You know, the inflammation in my gut my body was unable to clear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the inflammation in my sinuses and in my mouth, my body just didn't have enough energy to do the work necessary to remove that. So we just kept it going. It said, well, we'll keep it at a low level.
Yeah.
And that's why I say chronic issues, those mm-hmm. chronic issues you're dealing with, those are the ones that are being really affected by your mineral depletion.
Yeah, no, that makes so much sense. So let's talk about the modern mineral crisis. I mean, you talk about that a lot in the book, and you've spoken about how modern humans, you know, may have only a fraction of the minerals required for optimal. And the problem is like this narrative that there's a big community in the medical community is, well, you should be able to get what you need from food, mm-hmm. right? From your eat a healthy diet, eat your vegetables. And even if they rearrange fruits and vegetables into vegetables and fruit, like, you know, eat your whole foods and you'll be fine. What do you think has happened between our ancestors' food supply? And we don't have to go too far back, right? Mm-hmm. I don't even think you have to go much more than 100 years ago or maybe even 60 years ago. Like if we look at centenarians today, I think they evolved in a very different world than we are.
Absolutely.
And I think the further back you go, the more that story changes. But what do you think's happened between our ancestors' food supply and what we've got access to today?
Yeah. Well, there's an actual scientific study where they actually looked at foods grown in the 1950s and foods grown in the late 1990s, and they found significant nutrient density loss.
Mm-hmm.
So many people say that to get the same nutrients from an apple that your grandfather ate, you'd have to eat 6 apples. Some people say more to get the same nutrients, depending on where you're getting your apple and how old it is. Mm-hmm. So the sad truth is you absolutely cannot. I don't care if you eat organic, you eat your best absolute whole foods, your paleo, you know, you cannot get enough micronutrients and minerals from the foods you eat anymore. You would have to eat so much volume that you couldn't process it.
Yeah.
And this is a sad truth. So in 1936, there was a special session of Congress and a paper was presented talking about mineral deficiency in the soils. This was in the U.S. And it was saying we have a major problem because we're growing foods in soils and we keep growing them in the same soils and we're not getting the minerals back into the soil, because when a plant grows, the way that it creates all of its structure and use and the energy is by pulling the minerals from the soil. So that was 1936. And what have we done about it?
Nothing.
And in fact, we've made it worse by using herbicides like glyphosate, which when sprayed on soil, kill the microbes. Mm-hmm. And the microbes in the soil are what create over long periods of time those mineral complexes in the soil.
I wonder, what about biodynamic? I mean, not that anybody has access to biodynamic farming, but I remember, you know, a number of years ago when I was still in heavily in the nutrition space, we would differentiate between organic and biodynamic, which are two very, and I think in a way, biodynamic automatically means generally that the farmer is not using pesticides, herbicides, that kind of stuff. But what they are is they're nurturing the soil, which is very different and much more labor intensive in many ways.
And guess what they're using? Humic and fulvic.
Interesting. Yeah.
So the biodynamic farmers, and there's a great, I think there's a movie, it's called Need to Grow. It's a beautiful, excellent, excellent movie. It talks about this. And where they end up talking, what they end up talking about is humic and fulvic.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, we're getting to that as our next topic for sure. Yeah. So, and so this is the piece of soil depletion that I think people really don't, that we often don't get exposed to. Right. And it is, and that is one of the reasons I think why, if you're lucky enough to be able to go to a farmer's market and speak to the people who are actually growing your food, you can have a much better conversation about this. Mm-hmm. But you know, for people like me, where I live, that's only a few months of the year. Exactly. The rest of the time I'm kind of left to, and even if I'm doing like, let's say I'm doing a subscription of organic vegetables delivered at my door, I'm kind of a little bit limited by what they can access and what they're bringing in from wherever they're bringing it in from. So it's a very imperfect kind of world that we're in right now. So do you want to talk a little bit what industrial agriculture has done to the mineral content of soil? I mean, and why? Like, I think that I think part of the problem is just this need to grow vegetables, food that looks a certain way with no accountability for what it's delivering.
Yeah. And I think the simplest way to frame this is if you think of ancient peoples who were not cultivators, they were foragers, and they went through the forest and they looked for what was fresh and they dug roots and they ate plants that were naturally in a natural setting. And the difference between that and cultivating is this. So back to, you know, when this plant grows in the soil and it takes the minerals from the soil and it becomes a pea shoot or it becomes a huge redwood tree, you know, and all of its structure is minerals and it used a lot of energy from minerals in its cells via the mitochondria. Mm-hmm. Works the same way in your body as in a plant, that mitochondrial level. So, but in nature, at some point that plant dies. And it falls and it hits the ground and it decomposes slowly over time via a microbial decomposition process that delivers the minerals in their fundamental basic form back into the soil, which is again bioavailable to the new plants that are going to be growing. And the form that they're delivering them back into is these two complexes, humic and fulvic. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is what I call the sustainable loop. It's this loop that nature relies on. You know, plants grow, animals eat them. Even the animals, you know, in nature, they end up, you know, defecating and putting their minerals back into the soil. But what we have done is we've broken that sustainable loop.
Mm-hmm.
We grow food in soil, we harvest it, we take it away, we eat it, and we dispose of its waste far from where it's grown. And that mineral content never gets back into the soil. And you can't just take some calcium and potassium and whatever and throw it on the soil. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know, we have these, nitrogen, phosphate, and
there's three elements, right?
Three, yeah. You know? And the problem is that just like you, the soil and the plants need like 18 to 22 minerals. They don't need mm-hmm. just three.
Yeah.
And minerals work in balance with one another. They're very in very specific ratios in all of nature, actually, which is very interesting. So your cells require minerals in a certain ratio. I mean, there's macro minerals like magnesium, potassium, calcium, sodium. You need a lot of those, boron, but there's also a whole bunch of micronutrients that you need in particular formula, like a ratio formula. And it's the same for a redwood tree. It's the same for a porpoise. It's the same for a pea shoot at the cellular level. So that alone is very interesting. And it makes sense that we all evolved together on this planet. We're all a part of the planet, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so at a very, very micro level, our cells and our mitochondria work the same way and need the same thing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I may have gotten off topic there.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I mean, it's all back to this piece, you know, and it speaks a little bit to us as because there's lots of mineral supplements on the market, tons. Mm-hmm. And the tricky thing is that people are trying to figure out, if they even think about ratios, they're trying to figure out a ratio, right?
Yes.
And there's a lot of argument about how much of this to how much of that. And maybe you need more of this at this time and more of that at that time. And I think in the humic and fulvic conversation, which I want to go to now, is we don't have to ask those questions because, as you just stated so elegantly, those ratios are already established. They're already known.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't need to be reinvented. And it's ultimately what our bodies have evolved to use. And when we talk about replenishing the soil, humic and fulvic substances are being used by certain farmers and even cannabis growers, right? Like they talk about how humic and fulvic substances actually restore soil health. So why, like, I mean, this is not a mystery. This is not, you just said it, like, this is not new information. Why has it been so buried? Pardon, you know, pun intended.
Yeah, you know, this was the second, maybe not the second, but one of the big aha moments that I had is I recognized that there's a huge paradigm shift that we need to make. And, you know, you've been involved in the biohacking movement and lots of things where we're trying to impact our health. And, you know, more power to people who are taking responsibility for their health and not just waiting for the doctor to tell them. I mean, that's the way I was at that time, 10 mm-hmm. years ago. I was like, you know, kind of like with the car, you take it to the mechanic because they know.
Tell me what to do.
Yeah. You know, tell me what to do. And I had so much learning to do. So I applaud people for that education and really learning how your body works. The shift is this. Your body is a natural cellular ecosystem. It's a lot like a forest. It's a lot more like a forest than it is a car.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of trying to impact our body, what would be much more effective is to support it with the foundational elements that it needs so that it can do what it almost magically can do. And when that's the thing that blew my mind in my process of learning, was the complexity, the complexity of minerals and how they work together, you know, how a protein is made, you know, how an enzyme is created, how amino acids and, you know, the peptides work. I mean, these things, it's absolutely phenomenal, the complexity. So to think that scientists could go into a lab and determine how much minerals you need of magnesium, potassium, you know, name a whole bunch of different minerals, how much you need in a particular formulation is ludicrous. Yeah. It's completely a concept of minimum daily allowances or recommended daily allowances or whatever. Those things they're just a misunderstanding. And I know people were trying to do a good thing. They just were looking from the wrong perspective. They were looking at it like a car, like, let's figure out how much potassium you need and we'll just fill up the tank every day. But your bio system doesn't even into work that way.
Yeah, I think, and this is especially true for individuals who've never really taken a chemistry course or biology course at school. I think if you were to go to your nearest search engine or AI engine and asked it to show you some of the ways that the body produces, let's say, a hormone or a neurotransmitter or even energy, and then show you all of the different minerals that are used as cofactors along the way.
Yes.
I think you can start to understand at that point that, you know, you might need two of one and three of another and six of this. And that's just one pathway. Then you have all the different other pathways. And I think this is where, frankly, it's almost a relief if we could lean back and fall back into the arms of a natural substance that we've evolved with to kind of do the math for us that we don't need to do anymore. Like, why wouldn't we do that?
and that's such a cool thing, because if you think about every single cell on Earth requires minerals in these natural formulations, you know that nature had to solve the problem. So that was the only thing, is the scientists thought they could figure it out by going in their labs instead of looking at nature and to see how nature does it.
Yeah. And no need to reinvent that wheel 100%. So if our soil is depleted right now, just quick question, and I don't know if you know the answers to that, how long do you think it would take to restore the mineral profile naturally? Like, let's say we were willing to dump gallons of humic and fulvic acid back into the soil. Would it be like is it something that a farmer could do in one growing cycle, or is it the kind of thing that might take a few to get there?
Yeah. And you'll have differing opinions about this. And there's a lot in soil science. Mm-hmm. But we have seen, I'll give you an example, a really specific example. So there's a man, his name is Dr. Alexander Shulgin. He's a scientist from Russia, and he's really the one who studied humic and fulvic the most in the world. Amazing guy. And he was, along with many other scientists, given a hectare of land in the Chernobyl area. Okay. And said, see if you can make some plants grow in your hectare of land. And he put humic on his hectare of land, and it was the only hectare of land that grew in I think it was a year.
Wow.
So, I mean, it started growing little, you know, little plants. So that tells you, in that kind of intense situation, that he was able to turn a piece of land around. You know, the beautiful thing about humic is that it's so effective for removing toxins from cellular systems, like glyphosate or other herbicides and pesticides, that it's incredibly useful for regen farmers who are taking pieces of land that are really dead. In fact, our clinical director at Beam Minerals owns a piece of land in Montana. When she arrived there, the fields were completely like, they could hardly grow anything.
They're
now
defeated.
You see the pictures, it's just incredible. And we literally sent her a tote full of our humic, and she sprayed it on the property.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we should be spraying our plants with it at home for sure, at a minimum.
If you want to see what happens with humic in your body, take humic and fulvic and put it on a plant, like a house plant. Oh my gosh, you'll be amazed. It's so incredible what happens.
You know, that's so interesting. I have a little orchid that sadly got left on a very cold windowsill and is fighting its way back to life. I give her so much credit. She's like, the little leaves are starting to turn green again. I've got a little baby leaf coming up. But okay. I'm going to take some humic and fulvic and sprinkle it and spray it on and see if I can speed up that process. I'll get back to you on that.
You should use the fulvic if you're going to spray it on, because that's
fulvic for spray, humic for the soil. And yes. humus, not hummus, yeah. Humus. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. all right. So let's look at the modern nervous system, right? Mm-hmm. So, and especially these days, the constant stress, the overstimulation, this kind of seemingly basic chronic inflammation that so many people are dealing with right now. Do you think mineral depletion could be one of the hidden drivers hidden behind why people are just always in this state of wired but tired? Like basically the body's kind of overcompensating in some ways.
Yeah. Well, and there's a couple things to note here. The first is that your adrenal glands, which are certainly affected in this, and your thyroid, both store minerals. They are high mineral users, and they store lots of minerals. Mm-hmm. So when you're mineral depleted, what do? They send out a message. They like literally amp your nervous system up because mm-hmm. they don't have what they need.
Yeah.
So, and it's not only those glands, it's also every cell that doesn't have what it needs. So I think about my sleep issues that I had, where I would wake up 3, 4, sometimes 5 times a night. And now I sleep through the night most nights. Hmm. So my nervous system at a very, very low level, meaning base level, like the cells are sending neurological signals saying, we got what we need here. Everything's good here. Things are great. Yeah. I've got what I need. And they just keep sending that signal. And so my whole nervous system has really relaxed. Yeah. And now I can find rest. I have more responsibility to respond. I'm less reactive. And I'm not driven by adrenals.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like the depletion almost puts people into overdrive. It's a paradox, right?
It literally does.
Because you're in a sympathetic state as your body is looking for what it doesn't have. And that's that wired and tired thing. It's like you're kind of exhausted, only you're kind of
like you can't
vibrating
sleep
at the same time. Yeah. So I guess we could say that a nervous system that's been nourished with minerals adequately is going to be a system that's just going to be able to modulate itself more effectively. I think that's really what you're describing.
And so many times people describe stress as coming from the outside of the body. Yeah. And then the body is experiencing stress because these outside external stressors. But actually what I found is much of the stress was coming from inside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if I can actually support from again, that ecosystem level kind of support, as opposed to, you know, taking a big shot of magnesium at night to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Instead, provide all the minerals. Over time, your body will balance, you know, minerals are, that's the other thing is, we're focused in the world of, you know, supplements and biohacking and alternative health. We always are asking how much, you know, people say how much is in your, how much mineral of this mineral or that mineral. I'm like, it's the wrong question. The right question is how bioavailable is it?
Mm-hmm.
How easily is my body going to access the mineral content?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's very powerful. So do you think there's never a use case scenario for giving, once you've established the foundation, do you think there's never a use case scenario for taking a magnesium supplement or something? Because I know people find it pretty helpful.
Yeah, yeah, I know they do. And what I always ask people to do I'm not going to say never. Mm-hmm. But what I'm going to say is you have to look, if you look at your body as an ecosystem, mm-hmm. and how do ecosystems thrive? Ecosystems thrive with balanced, small amounts of different nutrients and micronutrients and elements and vitamins and amino acids, very small trace amounts delivered regularly. Mm-hmm. So you would never take a big wheelbarrow of some peptide and throw it somewhere on the forest floor, or of a wheelbarrow of magnesium, because things wouldn't thrive there. It would be a concentration. Mm-hmm. So in nature, concentrations of any element are generally not considered a good environment for cellular life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I mean, I guess the argument in adding some of those sometimes is if we're chewing through, if some certain processes are chewing through more of one thing, then that might create a need for adding that back in. So
exactly.
And I, that's going to be on a case by case basis, depending on the individual's circumstances.
Exactly. I mean, and certainly, you know, if you're, let's say you're a triathlete, you certainly need a lot more minerals. Now, I recommend continuing to use a balanced trace mineral, humic and fulvic replenishment tool, rather than hitting your system hard with large concentrations of potassium and salts and magnesium. Yeah. Because you're gonna throw your system out of balance. Mm-hmm. And I work with a lot of athletes who've used more concentrated different kinds of electrolytes, and they have cramping, they struggle with depletion, they struggle with hydration. And when we get them off of those concentrated single mineral supplement or electrolyte mineral supplements, and get them onto these balanced trace mineral, humic and fulvic supplements, they never go back. And if they do go back, what happens often is they'll say, oh, I went on a training run, mm-hmm. I took some magnesium, and boom, they come home and they have cramping that night because they just threw their system into imbalance. So, you know, I'm not saying, we know that magnesium works for sleep. So mm-hmm. if you're in some particular stressful time in your life, you need to use that for a while. You just have to be aware of its long-term impact and try to work to balance that out. You know, again, just treat your body like this natural ecosystem, not something you're trying to, you know, impact.
Think about that time when your gut feels off. Travel leaves you bloated and sluggish, diet changes cause discomfort, hard workouts throw off digestion, or recovery from stress just takes too long. What's actually happening in there? These everyday stressors challenge your gut lining. When that barrier weakens, digestion suffers, and so does your energy, immune balance, and resilience. Now, this is why Level Up Health created Ultimate GI Repair. Inside each capsule, you will find four next-generation peptides: BPC-157 to signal repair, lorazepam to protect tight junctions, KPV to calm local inflammation, and GHK copper to support tissue remodeling. The formula also includes zinc L-carnosine for mucosal stability, tributyrin to deliver butyrate fuel, and dual-form quercetin to modulate histamine and immune activity. Every ingredient is buffered for absorption, third-party verified, and tested above 99% purity. Now, for short-term gut recovery or long-term resilience, Ultimate GI Repair brings everything together in one clean, research-based capsule. To get your hands on a bottle for yourself, go to levelup.health.com and make sure to use code NAT for 20% off. That's levelup.health.com and use code NAT. So let's say somebody listening to this suspects they might be mineral depleted, which I would say, based on our conversation, quite a few people would be well, you know, advised to maybe consider that. What do you think, what would be the most common symptoms? I mean, you've mentioned some already, but maybe list off like the top few that some that people would expect and some that maybe would surprise them.
Yeah. Some of the ones that are surprising are painful periods for women. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about sleep, we've talked about periodontal issues, we've talked about inflammation in the gut, mm-hmm. Hair loss, dull skin,
nails.
We've talked about just inflammation, low-level inflammation, wherever. So when your body can't generate enough energy, everybody's system gets hit differently, you know? So, and that's why people say, well, what will I feel once I start getting replenished? What will I feel? And, you know, 201, most people, not everybody, most people feel energy, a shift in their energy within a week or 10 days. They start like that afternoon crash or just more sustainable energy, that kind of thing. But then it moves into, what are your chronic symptoms? You know, are you a person who doesn't sleep at night? Are you a person who struggles with gut problems? Are you a person who struggles with, I don't know, skin rashes? Are you, you know, different people. So I always say, look at the chronic issues. And that's the thing that I did in the book, which I think is really helpful, is really walk people through a process of recognizing in themselves what their issues are. So they can go, that might be mineral deficiency. Oh, that might be mineral deficiency. So there's a whole reference section in the book where you can look through for your particular health, chronic and acute health issues that you're dealing with, and see how mineral replenishment could support you. And some other things like hydration and how to get hydrated well and different things.
I saw that in the book, actually. It's a really, the book is part story, narration, but then there's a big piece of it at the end that really gets into the nitty gritty that is very practical. People. And I think it's almost like going to be a reference book for people, because I haven't seen too many books. I don't think I've seen anything like it yet. Awesome. And it's, and that practical piece is just because, you know, we read books and then we read a health book, and very often you get to the end and you're like, okay, that was great. That's a lot of information. What about me? What does it mean for me? Right? Yes. Because ultimately we're very interested in the topic, but everybody wants to know, but what about me? How do I leverage this information to help me? And I love that you took the time to really go through so many of the issues that people might be challenged with in their own health and bring it back to this one topic and to how it may be helpful. So I think that was really a great thing to do. But one of the things people are going to ask is, okay, let's say, how do I measure? Is there a test? Like, what's the best way for me to measure if I'm depleted in minerals? Is there a test? Because, you know, there's hair tissue mineral analysis, there's the HTMA where people have their hair pulled. There's some cellular measurements, but what test do you think are, or is there a test that you feel is adequate for this kind of thing?
Yeah. And there is a whole section in the book about testing, different ways to test. So for people who really want to understand the different ways to test. The main thing to understand when you're looking at mineral testing is you want to test intercellularly, because what you want to know is what minerals are actually being utilized by your body. And because remember, the mitochondria are inside your cells, which cells are your tissues. You want to know what is actually inside your cells. So there are a couple different ways to test that. One is with hair tissue mineral analysis. You have to take some hair and send it away. Now, if you color your hair, that's not going to be a good idea. So you might have to use some hair from another part of your body. But you can also use a
That'll
test.
That'll be fun.
Another test, which is called OligoScan. And it uses something called spectrophotometry, which shines a light into your tissues. You have to be present where the practitioner is. And there are people all around North America. There's people in Europe. It's from France, actually, originally. So there's people all around who do the OligoScan. I highly recommend that. It will give you a really good reading of all of your bioavailable beneficial minerals, electrolytes, also your toxic load of heavy metals. Mm-hmm. It will also tell you your vitamin levels, as well as your oxidative stress levels, meaning levels of free radicals in your system. And also it tells you about sulfur conjugation, which is how your body's doing relative to detoxification in general. Yeah. So it gives you some really, really good readings.
Yeah, I've done that at your booth a number of times, actually. And it's always, and the practitioner that you have doing the test is, she's so, I don't know, she's a special person.
Yeah, and if people want, we could easily provide, I could provide a link for you for the show notes about where people can find a practitioner.
Great.
If they, you know, if they contact you, I'm sure you could connect them with Erin Biberston, who's that practitioner.
For sure. Well, I think we'll put it in the show notes. It's more practical. Contacting me is always a bit of a... It's pretty hit
Sorry, I didn't mean to suggest that.
Let's just give everybody my phone number. Okay, so let's say, so once somebody figures out that they're depleted, whether it's through symptomatology or thinking, I probably am, let's just assume that I am. And I know you talk about this in the book, but without going through the step-by-step in the book, so we're going to tell people, this is probably a book you want to get your hands on, but why is it so challenging? Like, it's not as simple as ABC, this replenishment process. What are your top three guidelines on that?
You know, so if you go to your health food store and you look in the health food store aisle with all of the mineral bottles, and there's hundreds of, you know, brands and products, and you're like, oh my God, I'll buy some magnesium and I'll buy some potassium. Mm-hmm. I'll buy some calcium and maybe some, I don't know, chromium or selenium or iodine if you need that. I mean, there's so many, right? And the problem is that most mineral supplements are made from rocks, shells, bones, or salts. Now, salts have a separate issue. They're fairly bioavailable. They have other issues, but the rocks, bones, and shells, your gut doesn't break them down very well. So you take, 500 milligrams of calcium, and you end up breaking down only maybe 10% of it.
Wow.
Absorbing maybe 5 to 7% of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then only assimilating into your cell a much, much smaller amount.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, you take more calcium and the ratio becomes lower of bioavailability. It's a very interesting dynamic. And why is that? It actually makes sense when you think about your body as an ecosystem, because your body says, I've got a concentration, and it works harder to get rid of the excess.
Interesting. Yeah. So it doesn't respond to the bolus by taking in more. That's so interesting.
Right. So small trace minerals, and that's what humic and fulvic are called, trace minerals. What it means is they have trace amounts of all the minerals your body needs in the proper ratios that are highly bioavailable. If you take it in the form, like there are many forms around the world of humic and fulvic. One is called shilajit. It's like a tarry substance from the Himalayas. Or there's peat, comes from the British Isles, and it's a peaty, clumpy soil substance. And then there's other substances around the world. We use something called humate. It's a black crystalline, sandy, kind of feels sandy substance. Mm-hmm. But it's basically ancient decomposed plants. And you put that in your gut easily breaks it down.
Mm-hmm.
That's the interesting thing.
Well, and it's a liquid. And I think one of the things I wanted to talk about was the pills, the powders. Like there's something about a liquid and even if you think about it energetically, like it's fluid, you know, it feels like it would be easier to absorb than something that's been pounded into a solid or stuffed into a capsule. Like there's something about the liquid that, and you even talked about it earlier when you were talking about your periodontal issues, is you would swish the liquid around your mouth and it would absorb even just from there. Now we know the buccal membrane is very, very good at taking up nutrients. But even just exposing the tissue to the minerals in liquid form is a very effective way of getting them to where they need to be.
Yes. And the trick is to use a liquid that has no flavoring or additive. So that's what's really just different. And I'm not selling our company, but I'm just, you know, that's what's different about Beam Minerals, is it's just minerals and water.
Mm-hmm.
So that means there is no digestion required. Absolutely zero digestion. No, it does not need to be broken down any further. It's already at its chemical component size, ready for absorption. Mm-hmm. And the pulvic aspect of it is such a small molecule, it absorbs through any tissue that it touches. You can spray it on from the outside of your body and it absorbs in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So let's lean into the humic and fulvic a bit more now, because I think we've been talking about it for a bit, and it's, you know, the Shilajit is interesting because it's tar. I mean, I've used Shilajit and, mm-hmm. and, you know, it has a particular flavor profile, and it's very concentrated. It feels very intense. Mm-hmm. And I would say that in the liquid form that we're talking about, you don't get that intensity. You're taking in a liquid that almost virtually tastes like water. But let's talk a little bit about this humic and fulvic, because there's a difference between the humic molecule and the fulvic molecule. And they have different properties and they play different roles in the body. And the other thing you've talked about, which I'm just kind of going to stop talking in a minute here, but the other thing you've talked about is how one of them might bind heavy metals or glyphosate. So, mm-hmm. and I always envision them as two different kind of vehicles. So take
they
it
are.
Away.
Yeah. So the humic molecule is a very large molecule. And just to be clear, it actually incorporates the fulvic. Now, we are able to actually extract the fulvic molecule from the humic. And that's a really powerful thing to do, because now you have different tools, and I'll explain how they work. The humic molecule is very large. If you hold your hand in a fist and you imagine that's the humic molecule, your cell would be the head of a pin. So if you think the head of a pin is the size of your cell, and the humic molecule is much larger. So the humic molecule can be absorbed through the gut. Some humic molecules, not all, can be absorbed. They are in the gut, but they can also be absorbed into the bloodstream, some molecular sized humic molecules. And they basically, the way I like to describe it is like a Velcro ball. It's got a huge amount of surface area, like a sponge. Look, if you imagine looking at a sponge and all that surface area, but it's a polyelectric electrolyte molecule, which is very interesting. It means that certain areas of its surface area are positively charged and other areas are negatively charged.
Interesting.
And that's a very interesting concept, because it can travel through your body and it can pick up positive and negatively charged ions in your system. So it is able to pick up bio waste, toxins like glyphosate, heavy metals, nanoplastics, free radicals, senescent or zombie dead cells, viral detritus, graphene oxide, all sorts of different things. And what it does is literally those things cling to the molecule. Then at a certain point, this molecule gets so heavy that it falls out of solution. The way, like if you mix some powder into a glass and then slowly it precipitated down, it's this precipitation process, and it leaves your body. And this is how it worked on that hectare of land in Chernobyl. It just literally carried those nutrients deeper into the soil, so that the top layer of topsoil could then be healthy and grow again. It does the same thing in your body. It just precipitates out, comes through your tears, your snot, your sweat, your saliva, your earwax, you know, your skin.
Your and stool.
Your stool.
Does it come out through stool?
Absolutely. And your urine. So it'll come out through any possible pathway. So this is an incredible thing. The other thing about that molecule is that it does have heavy metals in the molecule. This is really important to recognize. If you read a certificate of analysis of humic and fulvic, you'll see heavy metals listed. But this is the interesting thing about it. And I've talked with many scientists about this, but it has the heavy metals in the humic molecule have no valence. They do not come free from the molecule. And instead, they act like magnets in your system for other heavy metals, which is why humic is so effective for removing lead toxicity, particularly lead, cadmium, and mercury toxicity in the body. Extremely effective. And they're used in many, we work with some world-renowned heavy metal detox specialists who swear by humic, particularly our liquid microboost, as an incredible tool for lowering toxicity of heavy metals. But that's how it works. Literally, those heavy metals are part of the molecule acting like a magnet for other heavy metals. and then ultimately carrying them from your system. The other aspect that the humic molecule does is it interacts with cell walls, cell membranes. So when it hits up against a cell membrane, it interacts with the proteins and it causes that cell to become more permeable, to open more channels. So I describe it like if you're in a room and you have one door and one window, so many things can go in and out. But if you have multiple doors and windows, more things can go efficiently in and out. And that's a very important thing for your body, for nutrient uptake into the cells, for energy production by the mitochondria, but also for intercellular detoxification. Mm-hmm. So more things that are stuck inside your cells, like heavy metals, can come out.
Yeah.
So the fulvic molecule now is the partner to humic. And now if you hold your hand in a fist, imagine your fist, and now that is the size of your cell. And the fulvic molecule is the size of the head of a pin.
Interesting.
So it's very, very small molecularly, very, very small molecular sized molecule. But it carries with it all of the minerals that you need, already pre-formulated in the natural ratios that you need. That's a very interesting thing. Now, this molecule, when that channel opens in the cell wall, or even when it bumps up against a cell, the cell goes, oh, that's fulvic. I recognize fulvic. Your body already recognizes fulvic as a beneficial substance. It opens the door, the gate, and it lets it into the cell. And then the fulvic molecule does something that no other molecule can do. It changes its polarity. So if you imagine a magnet with like metal pieces attached to it, and you turn the magnet off and those things would fall off,
yeah,
that's what happens. And so it literally goes into the cell and it changes its polarity and it delivers its bolus of minerals and nutrients into the cell where they're now available to the mitochondria for energy generation.
Wow. The old 1-2 punch.
Exactly.
That's why I talk about them as different shuttle buses.
And then, but now it's in this other polarity and it travels around in the cell. And yeah, what does it do? It picks up biowaste, toxins,
also
metals, viral detritus, glyphosate, that has gotten into the cell because your body thought it was glycine. Mm-hmm. It picks up nanoplastics and it carries those out of the cell. And then it changes its polarity again and it drops those in the bloodstream where the humic molecule can then pick them up for carrying them out of the system. So these, I actually call these, they're like, we, in the book, I describe this thing. They're like delivery guys who don't only just bring the stuff in from your, you know, they don't just drop the stuff at the curb. They bring it into your house. They set it up in your house and they pick up all the garbage, take it out. And then the garbage truck comes by. That's the humic molecule and it takes it out of the, you know, gets rid of it altogether. So yeah, they work together as a technology for replenishment of cellular systems everywhere on the planet.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So just out of curiosity, to what degree are these compounds able to remove heavy metals? Like if somebody has a heavy metal toxicity, let's say, and we all know that, you know, you do EDTA chelation, which effective, really tough on the body, like can be very, you know, it can be really hard on a person. Mm-hmm. Is there any research? Do you have an opinion or have you spoken to clinicians, mm-hmm, that might say, unless there's a very acute toxicity that has to be addressed in a very aggressive way, so then you might need the chelation,
right,
which
right,
can happen, right? Like you just got to reduce the load, right?
Absolutely.
It's got to go.
Absolutely.
But in terms of these more chronic or low-level accumulations,
yeah,
do you think that just using the humic and fulvic complexes, I'm going to call them complexes,
that's what I call them,
can ultimately solve a lot of these, help to rebalance many of these issues in most people?
I do. I do. I absolutely do. And I've seen it in the oligoscan tests where somebody will come 1 year and they have certain toxicities. They just, the only thing they change is taking the humic and fulvic, and they come back the next year and their tests are radically different. So, and I do have some scientific studies about humic and the being used in lead toxicity, remediation, cadmium, and also, what's the third one?
Mercury.
Mercury. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, they're the big three, right? They're the ones that show up the most. Yeah.
Yeah. And we, as I said, we have worked with a few years ago had this scientist call me. She's a practitioner from China. She works with a lot of people with heavy metal toxicity, and she wanted to talk to me. I was a little nervous, but she's like, "You don't understand. Your MicroBoost product's the only one that I've used that's been able to move the dial, particularly on the mercury toxicity that she was struggling with her patients." So she was very excited to have found the product. So, but it's not just our product; it's humic in general. CellCore uses humic for heavy metal detox, and many companies that are doing the world of detox. In the book, I kind of give I feel like it's a really useful overview of the difference between acute detoxification and more ecosystem continual detoxification. Because, you know, even if you go and do an acute detox protocol, which again, sometimes those are necessary and sometimes they're really good to do with a practitioner, absolutely with a practitioner. But as soon as you finish that protocol, you need to continue that because we're just bombarded with inhospitable or non-beneficial substances throughout our day. So you want to keep something, you know, that's why I call humic Mother Nature's janitor.
I think the big thing about it is that it gets to the cell. Like one of the big issues we'll talk about, you know, people talk about is like, oh, my blood test showed I have too much of this, that, or the other thing. Which if your blood is high in one of these heavy metals, you got a big problem, right? Mm-hmm. Because I mean, on the one hand, on the other hand, maybe it's easier to get to. But what it does, the story it doesn't tell, is what the body has sequestered into tissues and ultimately into cells. And I think there's also a story where as you remove these things from the more obvious tissues that are easier to measure, the body might be able to now be able to release from the cell into, you know, because Mother Nature really likes things to be equal. She's the even Steven of the planet, right?
Exactly.
I want as many marbles on this side as on that side.
Exactly.
And so there, at that point, there may be an opportunity to move stuff out of the cell that is that needs to move out. So I'm using very technical language here, but I think, you know, the technical language maybe is less necessary than the imagery.
Well, and that's what, you know, that's one thing that I really tried to do in the book was keep the technical language to the minimum, because, you know, my belief is to understand this stuff, we have to see it. You know, it can't be abstract. It has to, I have to see an image of it in my mind, like that Velcro ball, or, you know, I try to use stories because I really want the information to empower people.
And that, and like we talked about before, I think that's the big thing about the book is it's practical. You're not just going to be reading a book here. It'll help you to go through a process. And I would say that there's virtually nobody walking on this planet right now that couldn't use some degree of attention in this area, whether it's acutely or not. So let's talk a little bit about building a company, Caroline, because you easily could have, you know, gone on this little journey. You met Dan, he lit up your life with the minerals, and you could have said, okay, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But instead you decided to build a company around it. What made you do that?
You know, it literally was all of the research that I did. And as I started having these aha moments, I went to Dan, and he had a small company and he was selling essential oils, and he had a little mineral sales on the side. And I said, forget the essential oils. I'm not saying I love essential oils, but I was
we
like,
love them. Yeah.
No, it's complex. You know, there's a lot of big players in that space. I said, these minerals have done incredible things for my health. We have to bring these to the world. We absolutely have to bring these to the world. I cannot tell you how it was literally like one day this image, like this mm-hmm. vision just dropped into me. And I was like, this could help so many people. And here's the thing, the reason I want to bring it, it's so simple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's so simple. All yeah. you have to drink is 1 ounce of liquid that tastes like water every day. And it could have so many far-reaching effects like it had in my body. That is unbelievable. It's not expensive. It's like, yeah. this is just a no-brainer. So it really was driven out of wanting other people to have the experience. I mean, I spent so many years on my health, thousands and thousands of dollars going to so many different doctors and practitioners and specialists and you name it. And that little cup of liquid was what made the difference. I yeah. mean, that was, I just couldn't let it go by.
Sounds pretty inspired to me. All right. So if we were to fast forward 20 years, do you think minerals will become a foundational pillar of longevity science the way that, you know, people think of, you know, whether flawed or not, people think magnesium, they think electrolytes, or would, I mean, and I don't even think of them as a pillar. I mean, personally, if I had to use an image, I would use it as like a, and people, if you're watching me on YouTube, you can see me holding up my hand like a cup, but like a foundation, mm-hmm. because I don't know, the way we've been talking about minerals from what I know, from what I've learned from you, even kind of going through the book, it's its own pillar system.
It is my belief that, you know, many years ago, no one talked about the gut microbiome. Mm-hmm. Someone termed that, you know, created those terms for it. And so the gut has been the vanguard of health for many years now, and it's really hitting the mainstream now. Mm-hmm. Minerals is the true vanguard of health. It is the next thing. And that's what I am inspired to do, is to bring that message in a way that's very, I mean, the gut is a very, very complex system as well. And yeah. people figured out how to explain it to everybody, every person on the street. Mm-hmm. So that's my job with minerals, is to bring that, because without minerals, nothing works in the body.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine it affects the microbiome as much as anything else. Like the microbiome, all those bugs need the minerals that they need as cofactors to do what they do.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Maybe it'll be all about the mineral biome, the minibiome.
Well,
we have the microbiome and the mineral biome.
You know, we're doing a course right now with Kiran Krishnan, who started Microbiome Labs, and
he started
a new whole course for both consumers and practitioners, with different levels of detail that help people learn about their gut. And we're doing he asked us to come and do a whole segment, whole separate series, just about minerals and the gut. And it's a great series. If people are interested, we could certainly provide that link as well.
Yeah, no, I think that would be great. And you know, if Kieran's paying attention, then we should all pay attention, because
agreed,
that man's
agreed.
Pretty brilliant. I think we can all agree. If someone listening today could make one change to start restoring their mineral health, mm-hmm. what do you want them to understand first?
The first thing I want them to recognize is their body is a natural ecosystem. It is not like a car where you can fill up the windshield washer fluid and the gas tank and the oil reservoir.
Yeah.
It doesn't
yeah.
work like that.
Yeah. I think it's more complex. And I think that's where, if you can find a simple answer to a complex problem.
Yes.
You're pretty ahead of the game. So how much do you think modern medicine underestimates how profoundly the body can recover when its foundational inputs like minerals are restored?
You know, I heard recently that there's some MAHA piece about, you know, Make America Healthy Again thing, about how they've increased the number of hours of nutritional training that MDs have to have. I think it's maybe to 40 hours or something, maybe 20 hours or something like that.
It's up right now. It's pretty low. So
right now it's like one to two hours for entire medical training. So that's going to have a huge effect. The problem is that who's teaching that? And because, you know, I spend my life speaking to practitioners, and even the most, I mean, there's a very small percentage of practitioners who understand minerals just because no one's yet talking. I mean, I'm talking about it, and I'm really working hard to help people shift their paradigm from how much to how bioavailable, because that is the question to ask about minerals.
Yeah.
Not how much, how bioavailable.
And building on that, I just wanted to quickly ask, because I know you talk about it in the book, but for the audience listening, like, let's say somebody says, okay, well, I'm super deficient. Should I be taking twice as much? Should I double the dose? Should I triple the dose? Does an athlete need more, or someone who's very depleted need more, or is just that foundational dose enough, going to be enough for everybody? Or is it a time dependent thing?
No, absolutely. And, you know, depending on your lifestyle, your eating style, your particular health issues, you know, have you had, you know, gastroplasty, or do you have major gut problem, you know, like absorption problems in your gut? You know, there's all sorts of things that affect the amount of humic and fulvic, particularly. I'll just talk about our products because that's what I'm most knowledgeable about, that you can take. Mm-hmm. Now, the beautiful thing is it's so easy to take more or less. If you're a performance athlete, I work with a tennis pro who he takes a lot every day. Like he probably takes 2 full ounces of Micro Boost, our humic product, and up to 4 ounces of electrolyze when he's training.
Okay, because he's sweating and depleting himself. Okay.
Because he's utilizing so many minerals. He also takes every day one of our capsules, which is the powdered humic material. So he takes one of those every day as well. So, but he's in tennis tournaments in heat, you know, major heat, and all the everybody else is cramping, and he's like, I'm doing great, you know? So absolutely, you can use these tools, you know, as, you know, you take more when you need more, you take less when you need less. And the interesting thing about using something like Beam Minerals is your body will begin to tell you, this happens a lot. People start with the foundational amount, and then over time, they're like, oh, today I just want to take more of the fulvic today.
Okay, so I feel a
cold coming on, I'm going to take a little more of the humic product today. You know, so they become tools. And interestingly enough, if you start to treat your body, and that's one of the things that I do in the book, and that I'm going to be doing a program, a mineral reset program. And I really want to walk people through a process where they begin to recognize the signals that their body is telling them that they need more or less.
I love that. So, okay. So the last two, is there such a thing as too much? And is there anyone who shouldn't?
So relative to minerals in general, there's absolute, like, single mineral supplements, absolutely too much. Okay. So you should absolutely not take more than that bottle says, because you will create intense imbalance if you do that. With humic and fulvic, for most people, we have kind of a foundational amount, and that's a great amount, but you can take more, because here's the interesting thing. When you're taking minerals in already formulated in the natural ratios that your body utilizes, it doesn't create imbalance when you provide more. And your body is really well versed. It recognizes humic and fulvic. It can easily get rid of the excess. These are trace amounts. So they're measured in parts per million, not milligrams. It's a really different modality.
Yeah.
So you don't really need to worry about taking too much. And really, you just need to learn to listen to your body, and then you learn how to use the tools in a responsive way.
Okay. And is the, and can you think of anybody who shouldn't take? I mean, oh, I can't, but yeah. Is, can you think of anybody who shouldn't?
Well, so the one thing that can happen with humic when some, so I've had mold exposure, I've had long COVID, I've had an, I had an autoimmune. So I have these things that make my system into a sensitivo. Mm-hmm. So if I take my humic, my, the dark microboost product, and I just take it as a shot for maybe 3 days in a row, I might get hives. I might get a detox.
And is that a is that a Herx reaction?
That's exactly. So that's a detox response. And, you know, but there's really a simple method. So I just put it in my big glass of water. I'm holding up my 16 ounce glass of water. I, every morning I pour my humic and fulvic in there and I drink it through the day. No problem at all. Now, even if you're a very sensitive person, and there are a lot of us now, particularly since COVID, in the incidence of people struggling with detox symptoms went up astronomically after COVID. But it's very easy to deal with. We have what we call the slow introduction method. You can find it when you scan the QR code on the back of the bottle. And we'll, I think we send it out also via email when you order the product. So it's really easy. You just slowly start with like a quarter teaspoon in a glass of water and you just titrate up over time. And very, very few people will have any kind of detox response if they do it that way. Like 0.01% of the people might struggle.
I love that. I also want to mention before we go that it's these are great products. I mean, we weren't really going to talk about the products. Yeah. Today. We were only going to talk about the book, but you kind of can't help it, right? I do want to mention that I think these are also for anybody doing sauna. These are, again, these are really powerful products to use around your sauna protocol because if you think about it, you're talking about one vehicle that's delivering the minerals to the cell. And in sauna, we're pushing toxins out. And so to have that big, giant magnetic ball floating around available to bind to toxins that may be released is a real gift to your body.
Super important. I always recommend people are doing red light that they also take their shot of humic before they actually, so it's it with a red light, you would take your humic first, do mm-hmm. your sauna, and then afterwards take some fulvic.
Okay. So the humic first and then the fulvic second. Interesting.
If you're doing red light sauna. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the fulvic is replenishing. The humic is binding.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm sure we could just keep going here on the different ways to use different things. But I think, folks, I think if you're open to the book, I think there's so much good knowledge in there and will help people to get so much more understanding, such deeper understanding about their bodies and how these compounds can affect their health in different ways. So I would really encourage you to get your hands on it. Why don't we tell people, Caroline, where to get their hands on The Mineral Reset, which will be available very soon after we release this podcast.
You can get it at mineralresetbook.com. Mm-hmm. Mineralresetbook.com. And, you know, I recommend people buy three books, buy one for yourself, buy one for a friend, and buy one for that person in your life who is really struggling. You know, we have some bundle buys so you can get them less expensively with more books. And I'm also doing the Mineral Reset program starting mm-hmm. in late May, where with each book, you'll get a registration invitation to the Reset program. And I think it's going to be amazing for so many people. I really hope people will join me there.
Yeah, I love that. How long is the Reset program? Obviously, it's online. And how long will it be?
It's going to be a 6-week program. It's 5 modules. We'll have 1 week break in the middle.
Nice. I love it. All right. And if anybody's feeling inspired and needs to get their hands on the infamous humic and fulvic compounds that we've been talking about today, you can go to beamminerals.com and you get to use code NAT20 for 20% off your purchase. Yes. Even though we weren't going to talk about them, but we did.
Can't really help it.
No, we can. You know what? Whenever you're around Caroline, eventually it comes to this. And you're always glad that it did because you always learn something new every single time. So Caroline, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you for putting the time, heart, and energy into creating both the product and the book, because I think you're making a real impact in the world. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really want people to feel better.
Yeah. Yeah. We awesome. Know that. Thank you.
Hey folks, just a quick reminder that all of the information presented in this podcast is for information purposes only. No medical advice, no diagnosing, no treatments suggested here. Before you try anything that you hear about or learn about here, make sure that you check with your medical provider.